This is bookcareers.com live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 14 of bookcareers.com live. This week I'd like to address the vocabulary of redundancy. It is never easy when a company has to let staff go for whatever reason. But when it's redundancy, it can feel personal and also feel like a slight on your career. However, redundancy is not personal. A company has to justify a redundancy by holding a consultation process, and in some cases where there are several positions at risk and only one job remaining, an employee may find themselves in the unsavoury position of having to reapply for their own job. Whichever way the process goes, as it varies on company size, the vocabulary that seems to be used is currently wrong. I've even seen trade headlines say that so-and-so has been made redundant. However, you have not been made redundant. Your job has been made redundant. And these are two very different things. People do not get made redundant. Their jobs get made redundant. So please, if you're in a company who is sadly letting staff go, then make it clear that the job is being made redundant, not the person. And if you are subject to your job being made redundant, then that is the vocabulary you should use when speaking about why your contract has ended. Take the personal side out of the job loss and understand that your job is being made redundant. That is why outplacement, or to the layman, redundancy counselling, is so important, and particularly for people within the publishing sphere. Because when your job is made redundant, very often it isn't a straight go and look for another job exactly the same, because if your job is being made redundant within your current employer, the chances are other employers also have made similar jobs redundant. So often you need professional guidance as to where your future career may lie. Why it's so important within publishing is, unlike many other jobs, as creative people, someone within our job, we have given a huge part of ourselves to the job, be it our expertise in editorial, our eye for design, our instinct for knowing customers, our judgment on production, and our ability to talk to anyone about the books we are working on. It's a personal and creative thing. It's like how the blood flows through your veins. I've often described publishing as a vocation, and this remains true throughout our careers. And as creatives, when we leave a job behind, we leave behind a part of us. It can be particularly painful for editors who have commissioned books to see the authors they found carry on without them, and the books to be published just the same, but without the editor's final contribution. I've heard of companies not even sending the original editor a copy of the finished book after redundancy. Yet it was your baby, your idea, your discovery, and without your input, the book would never have happened. I've seen editors who've had their books shortlisted for prizes, or have seen the book they commissioned hitting the bestseller list after their jobs have been made redundant. All of this is extremely painful when so much of themselves has gone into those very titles. If you do find yourself in a position where your job is made redundant, here are some tips to help you reassess your life and pick yourself up. Redundancy is a huge shock. It is compared with bereavement and divorce. Although these days there is little stigma in being made redundant, it does not reduce the personal and emotional stress that losing your job, your regular income, and your daily routine brings. If you're at home all day, it's very easy to lapse into total despondency. This might appear as not getting out of bed in the morning, not getting dressed, not eating properly, and sitting and watching TV all day. It can also severely affect your relationship with your partner, especially when they still have a job to go to. It's very important to maintain a daily routine. The first thing to do is to get rid of your aggression and emotion, but try not to do this with the people around you. Go and do some sport, go for a run or a walk, as exercise releases the natural endorphins in your body, it will also help to raise your mood. It's very easy to feel despondent, useless and unloved when your job's been made redundant. But a simple activity like taking exercise, as well as putting yourself first, changes all of that. Solitary exercise also gives you time to think, time to plan, and should invigorate yourself into action. The other thing that's important is that you get out of the house every day, even if it's just for a short walk. The less you use your body, the less your body will want to do. You should keep in touch with people who are still working, but remember that they're still in jobs and don't have all day to chat on the phone. If you have contacts within the industry, use them. Tell them you are looking for work. Make sure that if you no longer see the trade press, that someone can arrange for vacancies to be sent to you. Try to motivate yourself by spreading out the calls and contacts so that even if you get a rejection letter from one vacancy, you already have an application in for another. Understand that you'll be feeling the whole range of emotions, varying from total despair to euphoria, and some days will be better than others. You will need to find things to get yourself through the bad days. Remember all those jobs at home that you put off because you were always working late or too tired? Well, now is your chance to do them. But if it's your partner who has lost their job, giving them a list of all the household tasks to do every day might seem like a good idea, but it can easily exasperate your partner's self-doubt. Instead, offer them comfort and reassurance. One of the things I recommend people to do when they're out of work in planning their day is to treat the morning job hunting like you're still in a job. To get up, wash, showered, breakfast, and at your desk at home in time for sort of 9 a.m. or the time you'd usually start work, and then spend the morning job hunting, following up leads, making contacts and looking at a number of different job boards. Then you'll have lunch and give yourself the afternoon off. There has to be some perk to being out of work, and that is it. But do remember to keep an eye on your phone and your email for the rest of the day so that you can respond quickly to anyone who has responded to you. If you've been working in publishing for a year or more, the Book Trade Charity may be able to help and advise you and can possibly help with a retraining grant or other financial assistance. As to the future and finding your new job, take time to reassess what it is you want to do. Redundancy is often a time when people think about going freelance or changing direction. Think about the things that you enjoyed in your last job, about your likes and dislikes. Did you like working in a team or do you prefer working on your own? Do you like sitting at your desk? Do you like being in a corporate environment or in a small company environment? Think about what you want to do in a new job, the same or something different. This brings us on to this week's case study. It concerns a journalist. Let's call her Mandy. Mandy had been working for a national newspaper as a journalist and sub-editor for a number of years. Then her job was made redundant. Rather than look for another journalism or sub-editor job, she wanted to set up as a freelance, using the contacts she made, offering services to both book publishers and newspapers, as she had seen so many jobs cut on the newspapers where she had worked. When she came to see me, we went through all her skills and expertise, defining exactly what she could do and how that would transfer to publishing. The most obvious example I can give is that of sub-editing, which might transfer to copy editing, developmental editing, or fact-checking. We looked at how Mandy would market her services and use her contacts, so she set up a website and an online portfolio, and this helped her approach companies and organisations for work. Initially, she was selling her services back to the newspaper group, which had made her job redundant, but over time, she was able to build a successful freelance portfolio doing more of the work she enjoyed. I also recommended that Mandy join the Society for Editors and Proofreaders. The interview question of the week concerns redundancy. We've already covered in a previous podcast how to answer the question about why did you leave your previous role. But let's look at the question, why were you made redundant? From an interviewer's perspective, this isn't really a constructive or helpful question to ask. It's fine to ask a candidate why they left their previous role, yet I find interviewers asking the question about redundancy are doing this purely to satisfy their personal curiosity about a competitor and how badly that competitor may be failing. As much as you want to know or have a gossip about your competitor, be professional and don't pry or question too much. It really adds nothing to the interview when there are so many better questions to ask. It may be that you want to see if they are disrespectful to their previous employer, but is that really helpful to you in finding out whether the candidate has the skills and competences to do the job you're interviewing them for? I think not. From a candidate's perspective, this is a negative question which might send you into freefall. So be clear in advance as to how you will answer it and practice your response or responses to ensure there are no loopholes or gaps within which the interviewer then might ask supplementary questions about redundancy. One of the things the interviewer might be looking for is to see if your job was an isolated redundancy or one of many redundancies. Basically, it's none of their business, but you can't say that to them. Instead, be clear, the department underwent a reorganisation. Or if it has been widely reported the company was doing badly, then you could say, as you may have read in the trade press, the company wasn't doing too well. And if they ask you subsequent questions, it's fine for you to say, I can't really answer that. What you don't want to do is to fall into the trap of disparaging your previous employer, however badly you feel they may have treated you. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter at BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.